Ian Stevens turning up in a wee while. He's always late, so we're just pad for now. We've got some stuff that we want to do. But you've got a question for him, so what's the question you're going to ask him when he gets here?
Ask him.
Why are you always late?
Yeah, why are you always late?
Okay, and what was the question you were going to ask him, really?
Do you like music, and what music do you like?
Okay, all right, so he's here now, he's arrived, so what you've got to do is get out of his chair, walk yourself around there, and we'll come to you in a mo, okay? And in the meantime, we were talking about the Children in Need stuff?
Yes, this schoolgirl has quizzed lots of celebrities on what is the secret of happiness, and she's Sainsbury's have snapped her book up. It's apparently it's top of the sales chart, and some of the things... make them happy is, for instance, Strictly Come Dancing judge Len Goodman says that for him it's eating a bacon sandwich, sleeping in the chair, being nice on Strictly, and getting out of bed when nothing falls off.
It's always a bonus.
Yeah. And Rod Stewart apparently revealed a cup of tea makes him uncontrollably happy.
Really?
Nice cup of tea, yeah.
A nice cup of tea. Sounds a bit like Boy George, because he used to...
Oh,
you
said rather
have
that to doing something else, actually. But a lot of it's obviously family. Andrew Lloyd Webber, his family, good wine, good musicals, and my Turkish van cats.
Right.
It must be a special breed.
I would imagine so, yeah.
You've been a cat person, I thought you might be able to know.
I just thought they were just known as brown and white
and
black, or tabby, or... something else.
Turkish van. Well, obviously, he probably would have something a bit more exotic, wouldn't he? So what makes you happy, quickly?
What makes me happy? The obvious.
Of course. Nice cup of tea.
Obviously, a cup of tea.
Nice cup of tea.
Something nice to eat, definitely.
Sunshine
is probably top of the list. Sunny enough to sit out in, I'm happy.
Always.
A bit of a drink going on.
Yeah.
And what else? Arsenal winning.
Well, so
eventually.
You're quite miserable a lot of the time then.
Yeah, I am. Our leader is out there waiting. He's a man with two phones. He's a busy man. He's got a very difficult question to answer first off. I'm just giving him a warning. He can hear us out there. Yeah. He's got an incredibly difficult question, which will be set by Robert as soon as he gets in the red chair and is ready to answer questions. He's coming in. Ian Stevens is on his way. If you want to give us a call, you can, 240666. We've got lots and lots of questions for him. We're going to start off with... Here's a question from Robert. Now, I'm just going to move this microphone over here, Robert. Robert, you just... ask the question, Robert.
Hi, Ian.
Hi.
How you doing?
Very well indeed, Robert.
That's not the question.
I've got a question
for you.
Far away.
What music do you like?
That's not the question.
The other one.
Well, totally music, yeah. I mean.
Why are you late? That's the first one.
That's the easy one to answer.
Yeah, why are you late, Ian?
Why am I late?
It was supposed to have been why are you always late?
Well, absolutely. Why am I always late? I'm trying to cram in more than I can do, I think. But we're doing it. I've just come away from having a meeting with Councillor Shirley Smart and Councillor Whitby Smith with regard to libraries, etc. So.
Excellent. Which we'll talk a bit more
talk
about
whatever you want
a little bit later on. We got a whole list of questions, a whole host of stuff to talk about, and Robert will get to ask his second question in the second part of the show.
Great stuff.
But last time you were here, probably about 6 weeks, 2 months ago, a lot of pressure. You seemed straight away to be in a better place. You're under pressure a bit. A couple of weeks back.
Yeah, we're always under pressure, really. Ian, it's one of those things that goes with the territory, but the whole thing about it is that over the last year, 18 months, the bad publicity, I think the very bad publicity, okay, people have had digs about me, and that's fair game, but with the council and with the workforce and the services that we're trying to provide, I think that we haven't had such bad publicity as has happened in previous terms of council. We will have hard times, there's no two ways about it, but the thing is that we're undertaking the work responsibly, and that's all I'm going to say about it. You know, we're being responsible, we're being as open as we possibly can, and everyone said, oh, what about the transparency? There is still the transparency. Some things obviously have to be dealt with in certain ways in confidence, but basically, we're moving, if you like, in a responsible fashion, and looking at all avenues.
Okay, I mean, there's lots of questions that have cropped up. I know Max has got one straight away. Do you want to fire it in, Max?
Ian, Dean Hodges on Facebook says, what's the story on the toilet closures?
There's no closures as such at this moment in time. What we have, with regard to the news that's breaking about community toilets, I believe it is, we have to consult with people about the public toilets as well to get a rounded view. The community toilet paper, and I've actually brought down a copy, doesn't mention anything about closures, but what it does mention about is about opening up opportunity for people to offer their facilities to the general public and also recoup some costs on that, obviously.
What's the difference between, it's a stupid question, but just so we're clarifying, we're clear on, what's the difference between a community, is it a community toilet you call it?
Yeah, community toilet is a toilet facility offered up by a community. It could be a business, or it could be a community asset from an organisation. Something of that ilk.
Okay, so we know where we are, because I haven't got a clue. I mean, this is the toilets that are opposite Iceland in Newport. What would they be?
Public.
They're public toilets,
yeah.
Right? Okay, so
provided
so,
by the Isle of Wight Council for public use as public conveniences.
Public toilets are okay. They're not going to be closed.
We have to look at everything, as I've said. What we're not going to do is close willy-nilly. What we would have preferred to have done is actually got the community toilet scheme up and running and proved that it's robust enough to take things on and enhance the offer of public conveniences or conveniences and toilets. That's what we want to try and do. We don't want to end up with less. What we want to do is end up with more and possibly more and more, if you like, personally maintained. Because if you look at some of the stores, etc., that offer conveniences to general public and their shoppers, you will find that they're probably sometimes cleaner, drier, and possibly more inviting to go into to use.
Sure. I mean, it kind of makes sense because the big supermarkets are making loads of money. Maybe it is down to people like that. That, hey, look, you provide the loose. You know, we're providing you with money every blooming week. So maybe you've got to get more involved.
I think that what we want to do is try and we want to look for community ways forward. You know, the days of the old local authorities with money swashing, swilling around, are long, long gone. And it's been proven in the last term of council that cuts had to be made. Cuts had to be made. Whether they were cut at the right time and in the right place, I don't know. But what I would say is that some of our services have suffered. We're back to the bone now, and the capacity issues within the local authority, such as not enough officers in the right place doing the right jobs to provide service, are things that we have to look at.
Okay, I mean, when just say for instance, if there are some cuts to toilets, and we're hoping that they're not, when will it happen? When will they come into operation?
We're not putting a time limit on this, because quite truthfully, we need to make sure that and the name of the game is the community toilets. That's the first thing, to see if we can establish community toilets to facilitate a service for our residents and tourism.
Okay. Any more over there, Max?
Yes, David Doyle would like to know, is there an alternative to Island Roads, or do they have the monopoly?
We came in with the... there was about £6 or 7 million worth of pre-contract funding that went into getting the best contracts we possibly could. I was one of three councillors that voted against, and I'm not hanging my hat on this, but I didn't know the detail, and I said at the time I didn't know the detail within the contracts to ascertain, what was what, to get a good viewpoint on it. Now, as far as I'm concerned, we are looking at the contractual side now, and we are looking at Island Roads. And, I've now assigned Councillor Phil Jordan into that role, as you probably are aware.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now looking, as I say, at Island Roads, at the performance, indeed are looking at the concerns that residents have brought forward, and we should do that. So we're not taking it lightly. We're not going to persecute our contractors. We're going to work with our contractors to get the best deal we possibly can for the island. But that might well be looking at some of the detail within those contracts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, so, I mean, we are signed into a major deal. We can't get out of it, can we?
No.
No. But there are other avenues that we could explore.
Well, we're looking across the piece to everything that we possibly can to make sure that we get the best deal possible. And some of these things, Ian, really have come to light since the contract has begun. I mean, we're talking road closures, looking at Remembrance Sunday this weekend when there could be a charge by Island Roads for closure of roads, or not, because what we're trying to do is take that away. You know, we've had village fetes and carnivals through the summer that have suddenly been hit with road closure bills. Did any of us ever think that that would happen when these contracts were set up? I certainly didn't.
Do you ever get surprised at the amount of, you know, as I say, I've put this on Facebook, okay? Leader of the Council's coming in, okay? You've been in about 6 weeks ago. There's lots of questions that we could ask about certain things. I think, you know, nobody has mentioned schools.
No.
And you think that's probably the one of the biggest things at the moment that people would comment on. They're more worried about the loos. Does that bother you? Does that worry you? Because it worries me.
I think that you're right, but I do get concerned about that. But the thing is that we have, as you quite well know. And I think that parents and guardians and indeed the students and of our schools and the education professionals know that we have put forward with the previous cabinet member, Councillor Richard Priest, and the present one, Jonathan Bacon, an emphasis on education in our schooling and indeed our children safeguarding and our social care for children. It was one of the main priorities, and we're still pushing that forward. I think the Ofsted reports when they come through, and with indeed the action plans from them, will actually show that there's a guarantee that we're putting education in children first as well as our elderly.
I mean, I must admit that, you know, obviously there was a couple of years ago, there was lots of negativity in and around the schools, and now there seems to be a whole lot of positivity. It's, you know, it is turning around little by little. It is turning around, so we are going in the right direction. How much is it a worry? And again, the media play a part again, because they twisted the story that came out in the week about Ryde, and you know, there were comments that were made about 3 months ago that were put in the press, and they made you think like those comments were made last week. They weren't. This was before they started addressing things. I mean, how more difficult does it make your job?
It makes it very difficult. We as members endeavour to have an upbeat persona, but when professionals in the education system, and I'm talking about teachers and teaching assistants and people that contribute day in and day out to education, it must be the most galling factor going, because quite honestly they don't go to work to fail. They go to work to succeed. I didn't get elected, and I wasn't going to get elected to fail. I want to succeed. We want this administration to succeed across the chamber. We're independents. We're not interested in whether a Conservative idea is a Conservative idea or a Labour idea is a Labour idea. What we want to do is make sure that it's an idea for the Isle of Wight.
Okay. I mean, just touching on the political thing there. I mean, I noticed that there's still not an independent going to stand for the election next year. I mean, is there going to be someone or not?
I think that what we need to do is, if there is going to be an independent candidate, it's going to be a candidate that is going to be validated by a considerable number of followers and, if you like, a potential to be the successful candidate to go into Westminster. What we don't want to do is put a paper candidate in, and which is just going to, deny the opportunity for someone who will add weight to our political spectrum on the south coast here. We really need someone to hit big.
Do we have someone? And following on from that question, I'm looking at it and thinking, somebody made this comment the other day. The reasons why there's not been anybody that, you know, of the high profile independents that are around at the moment, yourself included, is because if you then go and stand as MP, it may weaken your position within the council because it's quite tight because of the changes and the people jumping ship and so, just recently, and you might lose your grip on the council. Is that true, and how can you get over it?
I don't think there's too much truth in that at all. What I'd say is that if we feel that there's someone who can add value and weight within Westminster, and they're ready to do it, then they will do it. What I would say is that we have put forward policies, we put forward various papers through council and taken it forward, and we've gained support across the chamber from time to time. We shouldn't be afraid of losing one or two members. We weren't a few weeks ago. I understood what the situation might be. We have to play the cards as they're dealt. It's not about egos. It's not about one person can do better than the other in council, and it's certainly not about playing a numbers game in council. What we are doing is playing it straight. We're playing it straight. We've got a reduced majority now. We've got no overall control. So we've got to take people with us. Is that good or is that bad? Or would we say, let's have 16, let's have a majority of 16. We haven't got to worry about what anyone says, and we'll just drive everything through. I think this gives us an opportunity to actually add a little bit of weight from all quarters, providing people don't play the politics game and they actually play the people and places game that we need on the Isle of Wight.
Okay, so what about, is there going to be an independent standing at next year's general election?
There's already a UKIP member standing, I believe. That's an independent, but what we would say is that watch this space and we'll see how we go.
Right, okay. That says there might be.
There
Max,
might be, yeah.
But that's us twisting the story. in a way, I hope that there is an independent, because obviously we've got an independent council, which just makes more sense. But I know that you guys have a good relationship with Andrew Turner.
Yeah.
Politics aside, because it doesn't come into it, but you do have a good relationship with him. So does that mean it's almost because you've got a good relationship that we can allow him to carry on?
No, it means that if we find that there is someone that will add value to our cause within Westminster, then we will back that person. We also, at this moment in time, there are members, obviously, that will back Andrew Turner. So where we're not political and where we are about the island, then we need to make sure. And I've got, in a moment, we can touch on the local enterprise partnership, if you want, or the economic partnership, Cross Solent, where I'm not too happy with things. And I'm going to address that in the next couple of weeks with regard to... I think things have gone slightly off the boil. If you remember the assisted area status, we didn't get whole island support. Right. I wanted whole island support at Westminster.
But come on to that in a moment, because there's a couple of other points I want to make myself.
And, absolutely.
That's a good thing to chat about. So we put the parliamentary candidate thing to bed and the political thing. I mean, you know, there's obviously, the last couple of weeks, it's reared its ugly head again about this spat between Andrew Turner, or not Andrew Turner, because he's not picked the fight, somebody else has picked the fight with him. What's your take on that? Someone outside of a party having a bit of a pop and a dig. I mean, that can only strengthen other people's position, can't it? It certainly weakens Andrew Turner's, doesn't it, as a Conservative, and it weakens the Conservatives' party altogether on the island.
I think it's sad when people come out openly and publicly condemn people or try and take things into their own hands like that. To me, there's a certain amount of respect that needs to be given, both to Andrew Turner, to other people who put their name in the frame for candidacy, for previous councillors and indeed present councillors. You know, we come into public office. We come into public office to serve. That's the first thing. We don't come into public office to be crucified and be disrespected.
Do you know, it smacks of, I mean, you know, David Pugh, because his fingers are all over this. I don't know if you know this, Max, but he's the one that's putting a fly in the ointment. It's a bit like... he's been kicked out of office, been told to go to bed. He's like a child, but he won't go to bed. He keeps coming back and wanting to. Do you know what I mean? It just smacks of that, and it kind of belittles the whole thing of what people are trying to do and achieve on the Isle of Wight. It gives everybody a bad name within politics. It just looks so childish.
As I said, Ian, I try to act responsibly. I don't disrespect people. I'm not going to disrespect people now. The Isle of Wight people, the businesses on this island, have got to have someone in County Hall or in Parliament that they can trust and respect. I do things in a sensitive manner. I do things in a responsible manner. And I'm not going to change now. Never have done. I don't fire from the hip. I actually take a measured view, and sometimes it might take a little bit longer than some people who want to go gung-ho feel it is necessary. But it is necessary to get the right result and the right emphasis at the right time.
Okay. One of the criticisms, if they are criticism, that I've heard from a few people in the last sort of 6 months is something along the lines of, they're taking an age to make a decision on certain things. So is that we go back to the gung-ho thing, is that because you don't want to just jump in and do it? I mean, just like, say for instance, it was earlier this year we had the dreadful storms, late last year as well. Those people that are down at Knight and Undercliff, they're still struggling. Obviously they took it into their own hands. They shouldn't have done that. It just made things more worse than they are, but it kind of highlighted the issue. The issue was, well, hang on a minute, if we lived down there, we'd be thinking it's taken too blooming long. So what would you say to that?
I'd say you're right, but I'd also say that it has taken too long. Hold my hands up to that. But if you look at the track record and the way things have been moved through council, we've had call-in, we've had, we've put forward a paper, we've had capital asset paper coming forward. It's been taken, it's been challenged by the scrutiny committee. It's come back with proposals that we should take various things out, including the area that you mentioned, and so that we can gain more information. But some of these people cannot afford to wait any longer. Now, that's a fact. But once we know that we are the responsible body legally, then we have to start to try and see what we can do for that area. Some areas where the legality could be challenged and should be looked into thoroughly, then we need to make sure before we spend, and this is the big thing for us, Ian, is that we need to make sure that wherever we spend Isle of Wight Council taxpayers' money and central government money that's come to this island, we need to make sure that we're spending on the right on the right areas, and not just because we want to fix everything for everyone. And that's the big thing for us. We need to make sure that we focus the money where it should be going.
Is there a time limit on this? Is there somewhere you could say, right, okay, we should know all of the details by then and we're going to start working by that time? Is there a date that you can give?
No, there is no date, but it's ongoing. And we did apportion at the last executive an amount of money to the Undercliff. That's starting. The ball is rolling now. The clock's ticking now that we are actually looking at tackling that. It's taken time. It's the same with Totland as well. If you look at the walkway at Totland, where we've taken another panning. But the people of Totland realise that. The people with the petition realise that two or three times we've been called into question by our own membership, and quite rightly so, because that's what scrutiny does, to get a balance. But these are the things that take the time. But we have to have checks and balances within council, because what we don't want is someone railroading things through, and actually, if you like, moving funds into areas where possibly they should be drawn back, and we can actually make a better job or a more wholesome job in other areas by not diluting and putting money where it shouldn't be going.
Okay, I've got some easy questions for you as well, Ian. We want to lighten the load a little bit.
Well,
right?
However you want. Any personal questions? I mean, I was slated that you can come on to the national job that I've undertaken if you wish, which I was slated for by a certain member across the chamber. I'm quite happy to talk about that.
Let's deal with that one then.
Yeah, what's
let's
that?
Let's deal with that
let's
one.
Let's deal with it.
Just so you know that those people that are tuned in, you can phone if you want 240666. We do have enough questions to last us until the end of the 1 o'clock hour. Just so, for instance, I mean, I'm not sure whether Maxine would be up on what you're actually the other role that you've taken on.
Well, I'll just explain. The Local Government Association, through the independent group, had a vacancy for a chairman of the Culture, Tourism and Sport Board for England and Wales. And I was offered it. I didn't seek it out. I was offered it. Someone sponsored me and put my name forward. And this goes across party, political party grouping in the LGA, because it's a representative of Lib Dem, Labour, Conservative, Independent, UKIP, Green Party, etc. So I was, in actual fact, I was quite surprised to be offered it. And I spoke with the executive members and I accepted. And then I was told that I didn't have the time. I was earning £15,000 more than I had previously, etc., etc. So now I think in the local press, I was earning X amount. I don't know what it was, 30,000-40,000 on various allowances. Now I didn't come into this game, as I said, about ego, about anything other than do my best for the island. And get the island as far forward as we can. So I took it on board, and I've been visiting and speaking with various people from the chair of Sport England to English Heritage to the Arts Council, etc., etc. And each time, the Isle of Wight has been put into the frame. I'm going to do that. I'm going to continue to do that. I'm not ashamed of taking a national role when it's offered. I wouldn't have gone out and sought it, but then, as I say, I can also say that as far as I'm concerned, if I'm doing the job and someone says it's £15,000 a year, then I'm going to take the £15,000 a year, the same as I took the 51% cut when I first got elected as leader of the Isle of Wight Council. I will take what comes, I will deal with it in the appropriate manner. And I will also be dealing with certain elements of my money and funding from the public purse.
Okay, so I mean, you're in tourism is big on the island.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and we need to make it bigger, and we need to keep. We can't afford to sit in the sand and just sit and chill and do nothing. So what? How long have you been in the role, and what have we achieved so far?
Since September, and I have an undertaking from the chair of Visit England that she will be visiting the Isle of Wight in the coming months, a meeting with Visit Isle of Wight. She did the opening at the House of Commons when Andrew Turner hosted an event up there with David Thornton and the Visit Isle of Wight team. And indeed, our local produce was on display and what have you. So it was a good showcase. But what I'm doing is endeavouring to get people down here. The chair of Sport England is coming down as well. I'm getting these people down to grassroots level on the Isle of Wight to see what we can do and what we can't do. Now, I think that if you look at the situation with regard to, let's just say, take the tourism offer. If I bring someone down from, or I invite someone down from Visit England, and we've closed all the toilets,
that's not going to look good.
It's not going to look good at all.
No,
you're quite right. Mm. If someone comes down and sees that we as a local authority and local organisations and residents and business and Visit Isle of Wight are working together to get South East in bloom across the island, if you like, to make the Garden Isle the Garden Isle again, to give it another aspect for tourism, then hey, we're on the right way forward. If we've got community toilets that are working down here, hold on. Perhaps that lady who's going to come down, perhaps she can actually take that idea, and when she visits another area, she can actually turn and say, look what the Isle of Wight are doing. They've got community toilets that are working.
Mm.
Look, and they've expanded their toilet offering. Not being, you know, this is where we need to be. We, you know, we're not about. Yes, we've got hard times coming, so we can't keep everything open. But what we can do is expand and work differently. And as I say, we're looking at the moment. We've got kids want to play football. Young people and even adults want to get into sport. We need to actually say, look, this is the offer we've got on the Isle of Wight to Sport England. This is, you might know Lee Matthews, you might not. He's a very good officer of the Isle of Wight Council. Lee has consistently promoted sport on this island. And to get him to talk to those people and explain the situation at grassroots level can only be good for the Isle of Wight.
Yeah, too right. Can't argue with that. Can't argue with that at all. So when can we see the benefits of what you're doing in your other role, Ian? I know you know there's going to be a talk, meetings, so on and so forth. When are we going to see a financial benefit?
The financial benefit. Everyone's being screwed down financially, which is why we've got to use our reputation. And what we can do is open the door. But I can't do is deliver a cheque, you know, and that would be a fallacy for anyone to say, whoever. I mean, I've been up to the House of Commons with Andrew Turner, sat opposite Brandon Lewis and spoken to him along with the various other council leaders and asked for more money, a reduction. I've been and spoken with Greg Davis, another minister up in the House of Commons, and asked him for an island deal. We've been turned away. But it doesn't mean to say that everyone knows the island. When I met with Vince Cable, he said, yes, I know the Isle of Wight. Of course he knows the Isle of Wight, and he's going to continue to know the Isle of Wight because we're going to continue to push it to him that we need help with our business opportunities here.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one thing it's to say, yeah, well, okay, how many cheques have you got in your back pocket, Councillor Stevens? You're not doing a very good job. But the other side of the coin is, Councillor Stevens, how many people have you actually introduced into knowing about the Isle of Wight and knowing about the Isle of Wight situation, whether it's about our libraries or whatever?
Okay, we're going to go into a break in a mo, but we've got to ask you a question first of all. We want to, you know, a bit of lightheartedness as well, Ian.
Yeah.
You know, because in your life, you must have. We had Ian Ward in a couple of weeks ago, and Ian, I know he's a conservative. He's a lovable conservative, and he's a nice bloke. I like Ian. I've got a lot of time for him. It just suddenly dawned on me that he got loads of stick. We put something on Facebook, he got loads and loads of stick for it. And we forget sometimes that, hang on, this guy lost his wife last yes. Christmas.
Yeah.
And you think, cut him some slack. He comes in, does the best he can. He's a decent bloke. And yet we kind of like to kick you guys, the general public. How do you get over things like that? Do you have a skin like a rhinoceros? Or?
Yeah, well, I get irate with friends that point their finger at me up close, and they know about that. But I mean, I am Anglo-Saxon, so you know we do. But to the general public, okay, I'm fair game. I understand that. What I don't like is, and you mentioned Ian's late wife. What we don't want is our families embroiled in it. Mm. I think, to me, you know, I'm fair game. Have a pop at me, but you know, I've got a daughter. I've got a wife. You know, ease off from the family situation and have a go at me. I mean, my daughter takes it more personally than I do. To be quite candid,
must be hard for them. Because unfortunately, we have this mentality because we've got social media now. It's very easy for people to have a bit of a dig and a bit of a pop. And I'm probably like you, Ing, skin like a rhinoceros. Yeah. It ain't bothering me. The only way you're going to bother me is if you attack the family in some kind of way. It's not their fault.
Absolutely. As I say, I'm big enough and ugly enough to look after myself. Always have, all my life. I've got no problem with it. I mean, what I would say is, you know, I'm a truthful and respectful guy. I've got the best intentions for this island and its people.
So my question, Ian, was. It was going to be, who in the council makes you laugh? Who relaxes the situation? Who, at some point when it's tense, says, and drops a funny, a one-liner. There must be a counsellor that has a wicked, wicked sense of humour. It can't all be serious, serious.
I don't know. Phil Jordan's got, you know, he's got his ukulele in the corner. It's a pink one, my
what?
He's got a little pink ukulele. And, you know, we sometimes have a little sing-song with the ukulele, and that breaks and chills us up a little bit, or chills us.
That's
a
an
bit,
image, you know. I'd like to see.
Oh, it's all good. I'll tell you what, you know, we could perform, I suppose, in the precincts at Christmas, but I don't think we will. But it could, you know.
Does it go across parties? Does it? The Tories join in, or are they not in the gang?
No, because we hold that in our group room. They've got their jokers and what have you. Obviously, I mean, but we have a laugh from time to time. It's good fun. It's good fun. You know, I mean, I've made very good friends with people through the days in council. And I don't mean just now, but I'm talking about the old guard as well. You remember Charlie and all that, who's gone off to Ireland, and people, and Muriel Miller, and people, you know, people that are lifelong friends, really. I don't even see them now.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're still there, you know. I mean, they're people that you... you know, that you bond with, and I think that sort of thing, you know, adds to it. So I think, you know, the bonding sessions, and, you know, what have you. I mean, you know, me and Steve always have a cuddle when we meet. You know, Steve Stubbins and myself, and so we will. You know, we get on well. We're buddies inside the chamber and outside. You know, and we're pretty good.
What about across the party? Is it a bit us and them at the moment? Is it, you know, because I look at it and I think you've got 40 councillors. I don't care what colour you are.
No.
I just want you to behave, get on, have a bit of a laugh if you want, that's fine, but get on and do the job.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you see, that the thing is that what we've tried to do is to offer jobs across the council chamber, and so we should. The problem has been, you know, with the executive advisory committees that were in place at one stage, across the chamber, some people said they don't want to advise the executive. They didn't want to be part of policy making. Well, as I said to them at the time, you know, you weren't elected to oppose. You're elected to be a councillor. Just be a councillor. Just got an idea. Throw it in the mix. Throw it into the mix. Let's see what we can do with it.
Yeah.
And that's really where we came from. And I think that, you know, over the previous term with Chris Welsford and Vanessa Churchman and what have you, that's what we used to try and do. They were beaten back, obviously, from time to time. Some of them were taken on, you know. Community bus service was one of them that was taken on, you know. A couple of other things, the apprentice scheme and the pre-apprenticeship scheme were taken on. They came from our alternative budget, going back a while, you know.
Hey, Ian, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll chat some more. And I don't know whether you want to name and shame the guy that was giving you a bit of a rough time. I think everybody knows anyway.
No.
But I've got a message for him, so maybe we should. We'll do that after the break. We'll get it okayed. We'll have a vote on it.
Have a vote.
You're going to lose.
Get ukulele out.
There's two of us.
It can be anything. Father and son, the Cat Stevens version is the one that we do. It's not time to make a change.
Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. It's not only super fast, it's super unlimited too. Go to www.whitefibre.com.
Now, this is an interesting round. It's called The Fastest Lie. Can you tell me if this is true or false? White Fibre has the fastest broadband speed on the island at up to 120 megabits per second, compared to BT and Sky, who have 76.
So you're saying the island's local provider is faster than the nationals? It's got to be a lie.
It's absolutely true. And that's official. Check out isleofwightspeedtest.com to see what the truth looks like. Click whitefibre.com.
White Fibre's half-price everything offer is still on. Superfast fibre optic broadband, just £17.40 per month for 6 months, including line rental. Call 240-240 or click whitefibre.com. Blisteringly fast broadband.
White Fibre. Ever thought of getting into radio or becoming a radio presenter? You're in luck. At Vectis Radio, you can experience... free, the 4 P's Project.
Presentation, promotion, production and podcasting. Their main ambition is to introduce students and teenagers from the age 11 to 19 the basic and essential skills relating to radio. Vectis Radio is stationed at the Riverside Centre. You will be given the opportunity to be involved in sessions over a 10-week period. I'm Connie and I've took part in this course as work experience. I've learnt how to present radio, produce a podcast and learnt how to promote too. I can recommend this course. Email ianmac1965@gmail.com to get involved.
White Crystal is an Isle of Wight charity selling still and carbonated spring water products, flavoured and water coolers, to fund care services, employment and life-enhancing opportunities for people with a range of disabilities. To see their fabulous wide range of products, go to www.whitecrystal.org.uk or call to place an order on 01983 520 128. That's 01983 520 128.
Come and join the hunt to find Goldie the Solid Gold Red Squirrel. Go to islandtreasure.co.uk and join in this fabulous family fun with loads of prizes. Win a time travel virtual coin every time you find a treasure chest. Go to islandtreasure.co.uk right now and go for gold.
Isle of Wight Food Bank provides emergency food and support to local people in crisis. Your support helps stop local people going hungry. For more information, ring the office on 01983 292 040 or check out isleofwightfoodbank.org.uk/.
This man has a problem. As a result, he is feeling somewhat distressed and out of sorts. But someone suggested he should listen to Hair Bear's Record Fair on Vectis Radio at 7pm on Wednesday nights. And did it help? Well, no. But at least he can turn it up and cover the noise. Hair Bear's Record Fair, Wednesday nights at 7pm on Vectis Radio.
Broadcasting from the Riverside Centre in Newport, this is Vectis Radio.
Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. It's not only super fast, it's super unlimited too. Telephone them on 01983 240 240.
So we've had a vote, and you lost, Ian. So when you took your national role, you were given a bit of stick. You'll like this, Max.
Uh-huh.
You'll like this. You'll like where this is going. You'll be impressed with this. You were given a bit of stick by a certain member of the elected council. Do you want to name and shame him?
No.
Okay. That's fine. You're a gentleman. Okay. But what I will say is this gentleman, okay, asked you to resign or said you ought to resign because you can't do both jobs. Is that right?
Absolutely.
So then I thought, well, hang on, it's a bit steep, isn't it? Because so the reason why he asked you to... Can you just clarify the reason why he asked you to resign?
Well, he said that I should be... focused on the Isle of Wight. I think that was what it was about. Well, I am focused on the Isle of Wight. I don't necessarily have to be sat on the Isle of Wight. I'd be focused on the Isle of Wight and focused on the Isle of Wight's issues.
Okay, so there you are. You've got this national role, you've got the local role as well, and then you've got a Conservative councillor. We won't name him because we're both gentlemen. I like to think I am as well. But this Conservative councillor has made it very, very public that you ought to stand down. I did a little bit of digging. I did a little bit of research for once, and I found out that... there were certain people up and down the country, and they were Conservative leaders of councils that were doing exactly the same thing. So do you think, surprise, surprise, this guy retracted the complaint, retracted you to resign your post, purely and simply because it wouldn't have looked good up and down the country with other Conservative councillors doing exactly the same thing, council leaders?
I don't know the rationale behind his opposition in the first place, other than the one or two liners that he ever gave me. So I'm not going to say as to why he actually thought there was an imbalance in that way, and he decided he was going to come back and say that there were other political groupings that had leaders that were members of boards and committees in the local government arena.
All right, OK. See, you're too much of a gentleman, aren't you? If I've embarrassed you by bringing that up, I do apologise.
Not at all.
I just think it needed to be said. That's how petty politics can be. I mean, how, you know, and this guy has now left it to, well, I'm going to retract what I've said, and the term was we're going to see how it goes. Well, let's hope he sees how it goes with the other six Conservatives up and down the country as well. Maybe he ought to have asked them to resign too.
I think what needs to be mentioned here, Ian, is that I have three or four members of the Conservative political party grouping on my board. And I say my board, the board I chair. I also have Lib Dem and I also have Labour. Now, they've welcomed me as the chairman. We work well together. I'm not on any outside bodies of the board because, as far as I'm concerned, being the chair of the board is a big enough role. But that board has membership of, can I call them government quangos? I suppose I can. Visit England, Sport England, and if you like, the Arts Council. They've all got members of the board I chair on them. I'm not on any of them, because I'm not going to be on any of them. I've said to the elected members who are on those boards from across the political spectrum, they are the representatives of the board. They will report back to the board, and that is it. Now, I could have actually sat on two or three of those, but that's not the game. The game is I'm raising the profile of the Isle of Wight at national level on those boards. And meeting with the chairs of the boards. I'm not going to their committee meetings. I am allowing other people to go to the committee meetings and report back.
Okay. Question from Jay. Question for Ian Stevens. Hi, Ian.
Hi.
Given that the national debt stroke deficit continues to rise, it's evidently clear that the austerity cuts approach imposed by central government simply is not working. Will the council then be seeking to lobby against such a failure of policy and push for alternative routes of restructure?
I would like to think that we would. I think that the sad thing, or one of the sad, I think that one of the situations that does arise is that it's not just a Conservative government that is now with the Lib Dems alongside them, but it's also a possible Labour government that is actually saying that there's more cuts to follow. I consider that the banks that we bailed out, before they started paying the bonuses to their star players, should have actually started to reimburse this nation and the taxpayers of this nation with the money that they took from the coffers of central government.
All right, okay, good answer, like that. Mark says, what happened to the £300,000 savings made by ditching the Isle of Wight control to Surrey and all the money made from the farcical right to buy council homes? Where is all the money in the scheme of things? It just goes on and on. Sell it off or cut. Stand up and be counted.
As I say, you know, we've had ongoing cuts from central government, and the way that it's been... the cards have been dealt with in the past and will be in the future. We've got to find new joint ways of working. The situation with the fire control room was that we've saved money with regard to the fire control room being a singular entity on the Isle of Wight and moving in with Surrey. That's because of cuts. So there's no extra money, but it's just that way. That was found to be a way of saving. And we've got others that are coming on stream, I'm afraid.
Okay, I've got another question. This is from me. Is there any question that I haven't asked you that you thought you might get asked?
That's a good question.
Now, be honest.
Not really. I mean,
we've done all right there, mate.
I think you've covered the majority of things. If there are any questions that you wish to ask, please do. What I would say is, Ian, I have offered the services of indeed other executive members to come in here.
Brilliant.
And sit with you. Now, perhaps we can start to work a time scale out for this so that people can ask, shall we say, Councillor Phil Jordan or Louisa Hillard, because Councillor Hillard takes a hell of a pounding for a sustainability portfolio, and that's a biggie for us
as an island. I've noticed she gets a really, really hard time, but what I also notice is she stands her ground. So I think credit to her. I mean, you know, she does get a bit of a hard time. When Phil comes in, will he bring his ukulele?
Mm.
Yeah, you'll enjoy.
There's a couple more questions to come. Obviously, as you know, we're doing the four-piece project, and we've got a young man in the studio who's on the four-piece project. His name is Robert. I'm just going to swing the microphone over there, and he's going to ask you his final question. So here you go, Robert. Over to you.
Go for it, Robert.
Hi.
Hi.
My final question is, what music do you like?
Oh, you know, I'm very fortunate. I enjoy classical, but I also enjoy rock, and I enjoyed some of the middle of the road pop and country and western. But what I would say is that what I don't like is house music and something that is repetitive, and someone, you know, seeing someone spin on their backside and then on their head. I'm not into that at all. Perhaps I'm a bit long in the tooth.
Yeah.
My daughter would say, Dad, you're living in the 1920s. So there you go.
One final question we didn't touch on, budgets. You mentioned on the phone when we spoke, you know, that is now the time you're putting together the budgets. Who are you working with? Who's working with who? Or are we all coming up with different ones?
We're out to consultation. We've had the voluntary sector, the business sector, and health and social care in over the last week or two. We're now looking to go out and do our roadshow again. Don't forget, last year was the first roadshow that we did. We would like people to come out, not to barrack us and shout us down, but for goodness sake, if there's someone out there, if there's people out there who have alternative ideas or some ideas that we could actually pull in and check out and check and do some checks and balances on it, it could well become council policy. It could save us shed loads of money, and we could actually, if you like, have some positives rather than negatives. I'm not out there to be shouted at. I'm out there to be talked to, and we will be coming out and about. There's a list of areas and places and times, and Ian, if you want them, we'll get them down to you.
Brilliant. That'll be fabulous. We had a young man in, another guy on the four-piece course yesterday, 18 years old, lives in Brading. He says there's nothing going on in Brading. There is a couple of people there that run a youth club, and they're doing fantastic work, and I know that they're in the process of putting some things together. But he made a wonderful point. It was, you know, he said he was started off by saying he's not going to vote at the next election. What's the point? I don't trust any of them, which is kind of a sad thing. We spoke to him. We had a really good conversation. We opened his eyes a little bit. But he also opened ours too, because I don't think we communicate with the youth enough. This guy was 18 going on 50. By what I mean that, he's more intelligent than we realise. You know, yes, he's a normal 18-year-old, but he's got a vision and he's very, very mature and grown up. And one of the things that he said is, it's a shame that we are a summer island, basically. You know, people come to the island during the months of. Wouldn't it be great if we opened our eyes and suddenly had an awful lot of things that were, you know, so people could come down, it'd be all weather situations all year round, and there's a, you know, an added reason for coming to the Isle of Wight, because after, at this time of year, you know that it's, you know, it's elderly people that come down to the island, and that's about it. And you know, we just had a half term. Wouldn't it be great if we had some wonderful place here where people could come to the Isle of Wight, Waterflume Park, you know, under a roof, that sort of thing. Wouldn't it be great? What's I mean, maybe it's a case of we've got to listen to these youngsters. How do you listen? How do you get in, you know, engage with those youngsters?
We endeavour to engage. As I say, we've got an open door policy over the road at County Hall. I'm only too pleased to talk with people, and especially our young. And I say with people, because we've had bus users groups, we've had everyone in there. I've been in and spoken with the youth council, etc. But what we really need to do, and what we are doing, is we're using social media a lot more, you know. And if people Twitter or go onto Facebook, they'll find us. And please, if you want to be heard, then utilise that, but also utilise the normal, if you like, stereotyped, okay, dial in and or come in and go to County Hall and ask to speak to Ian Stevens, a leader. I won't turn you away, that's for sure, and I don't turn ideas away. Let's have a look. When I was in China in 2010, I sold the story to the people there that we were extending our tourism offering for walking festivals and cycling festivals and other such things after the six weeks or so of the summer holidays and the pop festival and the festival. I'd like to see another music festival, and we could call it the People's Festival. Now that would be good if we could do that, and we could actually take the funding, instead of actually taking the funding off island, let's put it back into the local community. That's what I'd like to see. I haven't got the wherewithal all the time, but I feel sure that someone out there could actually get that by the scruff of the neck and give it a good shaking. We've got people living locally who are in that type of business who could actually work with young people to say, hey, Let's have a music festival. It's a People's Festival, and let's see if we can. All the profits go back in to our services for the elderly, our services for our young children, and whatever. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be fantastic. Mm. And Phil could play the ukulele, couldn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
don't. He could
be the warm up.
Don't. I'd like to attend. I get a freebie concert from Phil whenever I want it. You know, I don't really need to go down that road.
Hey, it's great to see you, yeah, and you know, congratulations on the work that you do, because I don't think you get enough congratulations, and I don't, yeah. You know, there are 40 councillors that do get a lot of grief, and let's be honest, they're human. They don't get paid a massive amount of money, and some people say, "Oh, it should be, you know, it should be when you represent people." That's, you know, but hey, look, in this day and age, people got to live, and you need some kind of finance for it, and you know, I don't think nobody should get the stick that they get sometimes, and it's all because I think it's just down to frustration. It is just down to frustration. But what I like about you, Ian, is you come in and you talk about it, you know, and you're not hard to find.
You can have anything you want to talk about. I don't mind. As I say, I'm an Isle of Wight boy, born and bred. People know me in and around Rye. They know me all over the island, I think, because of not because of my pictures in the press of late, but I used to play football. We used to, you know, so we've had a pint together with other footballers and what have you throughout the island. People know me, and they know I'm an honest individual.
Were you a dirty player, Ian? Did you kick people?
No, I was I was an artiste.
Hey, look, thanks for being there. Have a great rest of the day. And Max, thanks for being there, Floozy.
No problem.
Back next week?
Absolutely.
Okay, put some makeup on next week, don't you?